But I'd like to do something a little bit different. I'd like to think about the Imahot, Sarah and Rivka, and answer the question about how were they. Now, it's a little hard to be asked the question in a global manner, so what I did was I collected all of the places that the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, says something about Sarah and about Rivka. Right, Sarah is last week's parasha, the last two parashiyot, and Rivka is this week's parasha of Toldot. So if you look at the second, number two on the sheet, Bereishit Perek Tet Zayin, that's last week's parasha. The pasuk says, "Vatomer Sarai El Avram, Chamasi Alecha, Anochi Natati Shivchati Bechekecha, Vateira Ki Harata, Veikal Beineha, Yishpot Hashem Beini Uveinecha." So the context is the fact that Sarai, who didn't have any children, gave her maidservant Hagar to Abraham as a wife, some kind of wife. Exactly what her status was is not clear to me, but she had some sort of status. So she became pregnant immediately. That's what Chazal say. She became immediately pregnant with a child. And so Sarai, her name is still Sarai, comes to complain to Abraham. And she says this phrase, Chamasi Alecha. Chamas is something, it's destruction. It's something that is discontinuous. Chamas. Chamasi, what happened to me should happen to you. Like, you know, people say, of dir gezukt, they say in Yiddish. Like it should only be for you. So that's what she said. What is she so angry about? She said, "Anochi natati shivchati b'chekecha. I gave you my maid servant into your bosom. Vatera ki harata." And she saw that she was pregnant. And then she treated me in a very mild manner, like as though she was an equal, or she was even better than I was, because she was pregnant and I was not. Yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha. So God should judge between you and me. So the argument of Sarai was that Abraham was not protecting her. Here, okay, she did him this favor, gave her this woman as his maidservant, and she became pregnant immediately, and Avraham Avinu was not supporting her, supporting Sarai, was not, and so her authority somehow was dissipating, and she was very angry about that. Vayomer Avraham el Sarai, Hinei shivchatech biyadech, asila hatol beinech, beinaya. So Avram recovers, and Avram says to Sarai, it's your shivcha, it's in your head, asila hatol beinaya, do whatever you think is right, vata'aneha Sarah, vativrach mipaneha. I mean, this is a pasuk in the Torah. This is a puzzle to tell you. This is not a fantastic story that you buy in Geula, like one of those little books with stories about Sarah. This is in the Chumash. And the Chumash says, Vata'aneha Sarah. Vata'aneha is the word inui. She tortured her. Vativrach mipaneha. Once Sarai established her authority in the eyes of Abraham, even though she was pregnant, she, Hagar, was pregnant, Sarai tortured her, and she ran away. And then the story of Hagar and Yishmael and their status continues in the Torah. Okay, now let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Chamasi asui li alecha ani matila onesh." This this terrible situation which I am suffering from, Alecha ani matil et ha'onesh. I place the punishment on you. Kishet balalta laKadosh Baruch Hu mati tein li v'anochi olecha ri. This is what Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in prayer. He said, what will you give me? I am draying around ariri, childless. Lo hitpalalta ela alecha. You only davened for yourself. Hayalecha litpalel al shneinu. But you should have davened for both of us. I was also childless. What did you are childless? We're both childless. Vayiti ani nifgedet imcha. And I would have been remembered by God when you are remembered by God. So the accusation against Avraham Avinu, was that he ignored her plight. And then Hagar also, in the same vein, ignored her plight. Va'od divarecha ata chomeis mimeni. Furthermore, you divarecha ata chomeis mimeni. You don't carry out words towards me that would lighten the burden. Shata shomea bizyoni v'shotek, because you see what Hagar is saying. What she's doing, that she's better than I am, that she is producing an heir which I couldn't do, and you keep quiet, you don't say a thing. Then Rashi continues, and Rashi says, Anochi natati shivchati v'gomer beini uveinecha, kol beini uveinecha shebemikrach hazeh. Okay, this is an excerpt, this from the a pasuk that's not here. Now let's look at the Ramban. You see the Ramban? The Ramban says, "V'ta'aneha sarah v'tivrach mipaneha. Chata imenu b'inu yaseh. Chata." The Ramban is not embarrassed. At the same time, he calls her imenu. Right? I mean, he's right. I mean, I'm not saying that this. It's just that it's an odd. Contraction of words. Chata'a imenu. You would think that the Ramban could have just said chata'a. Now, I don't know about the nusach. Maybe some energetic scribe put it in, you know, added the word imenu. I don't know. But if we would say that the Ramban definitely said these words, I mean, this is taken from the Ramban text on the computer. So it must be correct. Right? But if it's not correct, we're all in big trouble. That means there's nothing that's correct anymore. Everything is imagined. But then he says, Chata imenu b'inuizeh. The fact that she tortured Hagar, that was a chait. V'gam Avraham, listen to this. V'gam Avraham b'anichol asot kein. And Rashi is right. That's what she said, that Avraham Avinu also sinned. Because he allowed this to happen. He allowed Sarah to torture Hagar. It was Sarah tortured Hagar. It was her idea. But Avraham Avinu allowed it to happen. He didn't stop it. Listen to this. La'anot zera Avraham v'sarah. Bekol mineha inui. So I'm not talking about the fact that the Ramban here is almost like a prophet. I'm just saying the words say Shema Hashem El Anya. God paid attention to her terrible state, to her impoverished state. Vinatan la ben, and allowed her to give birth to a son. And that son, Yehe Pera Adam, he was a wild man. He was like crazy. La'anot, to torture, Zera Avraham v'Sara, v'kol minei ha'inui. And you know that the Ramban had a strong feeling that the words in the Torah, especially the extraordinary words, the words that you don't expect, were actually prophetic in nature. The Rambam thought that there was that Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, right, which is a statement the Chazal say, and probably mean that, you know, children copy the mannerisms of their parents. But he felt that that's not what it means. That Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim means that the parents determine how the children are going to act. In other words, it's like programming. They program their children. Now we could, like a way of saying that using psychology or sociology today, I mean, where you grow up is who you are to a great extent. You imitate your parents, both in the way they do things, the way they look, and the way that the ideas that they have, you often imitate. So that the word vata'aneha sarai, that word, that jarred the Ramban, that she tortured Hagar, that was really, like, remarkable. Like, why did Sarah do it? So first the Ramban said it was a chait. And then the Ramban says she was punished. But her punishment was not simply, that she was missing something or something happened to her. But there was a fault that was created forever. And that fault that was created forever, according to the Ramban, is that the son who was born to Hagar was a Pera Adam, Lanot Zera Avraham Sara, Bekol Minei Ha'inui, that forever Yishmael and the descendants of Yishmael are responding to what Sarah did by making the descendants of Avraham and Sarah miserable over and over again. So that usually the Ramban follows Chazal in saying that this is true about Esav. Right? Do you remember Esav? So Esav in Chazal is compared to Romy. Right? The Roman Empire, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and that continues, right? The Roman aspect of things continue through Esav. But it's very rare that you find somebody who says the same thing about Yishmael. Yishmael is just considered to be the son who didn't make it. In Chazal, he was offered, he's like Lot. Lot was offered a position in the household of Abraham, and he rejected it. Because he wasn't able to accept the theological basis that Abraham presented him with. The same thing was true for Yishmael. But here the Ramban said that because of this word Vaya'aneha, Yishmael became the ultimate enemy again and again throughout history. Right? I mean, you know that the Ramban lived in Spain. At a time when there was these battles between the Christians and the Muslims, and both the Christians and the Muslims found ways to make the Jews miserable, and the Ramban, who was in there, he was in that parasha. He said that it's because of Sarah when it came to the Muslims. Which I think is quite a remarkable thing. If you look at the next source, number 3, Bereshit Perek Yud Chet Pasuk Tedvav, Vatechachesh Sara Lemor Lo Tzachachti. Remember, the angels came, and one of the angels informed Sarah that she would have a son, Ka'et Chayach, right? This time of the year, in another year, she would have a son, and she laughed. And then the angels asked Avraham Avinu, why is she laughing? I mean, is God unable to do such a simple thing? I mean, why should she laugh? So Sarah then answers Avraham and says, no, I wasn't laughing. Ki yireya vayom elo ki tzachak. She said, I don't know, I guess when you're very taken up with something, sometimes people giggle. To my limited experience, I associate that more with women than with men.
Japanese
giggle? Oh, well, that's what they do. Because no one understands what they're saying.
Yes, she was very Japanese.
Yeah. Okay. So she said, Lo tzachakti ki yareya. It was out of fear. Fear of God. I mean, I knew that it was going to happen. She said the opposite. Vayomer lo. And Avraham Avinu says to her, no, you were laughing. You were laughing in disbelief. And Rashi says, ki yareya ki tzachak. See the Rashi? Harishon mishamesh leha lishon deha shenotein tam lidava. The first kind of tzachakti is the reason. It's like a reason for something. But tikachesh sarah lefisha yirah, that she said, no, I was just in fear. Vasheini mishamesh b'lashon ela. Vayomer lo kidvarayehu ela tzachakt. Because this Rashi tried to just read the pasuk with us, but the chesed sarah lemor lo tzachakti, right? What does lo tzachakti mean? Lo tzachakti. I'm sorry, lo tzachakti ki yareya. She's explaining what happened. She's not arguing about the fact. The fact was that it sounded like she was laughing, and she said no. It could sound like I was laughing, but I was really expressing this fear I had that I was in the presence of God. And Avraham Avinu says to him, no, you really were laughing. She'amru rabotenu ki mishamesh ba'ar b'lishonot idilma eladah. That the key, the word key, Chazal already said that the word key means a variety of things. So that's what Rashi emphasizes this. Now listen. Ramban, but the chachesh sarah lemor. The Ramban, you know, they say, tells it like it is, like in class. If you're in a class and you are bent on annoying the teacher, this is what you would say, exactly what the Ramban says. Ramban says, Anita Meya b'nevi'ah hatzadeket. Right. In other words, he's upping the ante here. I'm not starting asking a question about somebody, but I'm asking a question about Nevi'ah Tzadeket. That's what the Ramban calls Sarah several times. Nevi'ah Tzadeket. Nevi'ah, because God said to Avraham Avinu, she is the greater prophet. So the Ramban, of course, calls her Nevi'ah Tzadeket. Well, she was one of the Imahot. So of course she was a Tzadeket. I mean, you don't have to prove that. So the Nevi'ah Tzadeket, Ech tikachesh ba'asher amar Hashem la'navi. How could she disagree? After all, it was God who said to Avraham Avinu, why did she laugh? So Hashem thought that she laughed. So how did she come and say that? She didn't laugh? I mean, of course, who is that? That's Cain in heaven. That's Cain in heaven, right? God says to Cain, where is your brother? And Hevel says, I don't know. Like he's gone. So this is the kind of conversation that we imagine that we could never have. Because of course you assume that God knows the answer to the question. And the question is just like a test. Say something. But it doesn't mean tell me something I don't know. I mean, that seems, by our conceptions of things, to be a bit ridiculous. So what did Sarah say? What did Anita may have been of Yad Tzadeket? Ekechesh b'asher amah Hashem l'navi. How could she disagree? V'gam lama lo ha'emina l'divrei malachei Elokim. Furthermore, I don't understand how she didn't believe the angels. And the angels said you could have a baby. And what did she say? I'm an old lady. So according to the Ramban, it's an irrelevancy. Well, maybe you know, if God says you could have a baby, you could have a baby, right? Did she get that? She was not up to that lesson in the Avraham Avinu theology book, that you know, if God says it, it's going to happen. What was the issue? What was the issue that she could not accept the words of the angel? So the Ramban says, I'm going to try to explain this. These three angels came to Abraham. This is the parasha Vayera, right? Vayera. They came to Abraham. And the thing about these three angels was that they looked like people. They looked like people. Anirim kanashim. Ba'u el Abraham. You know that in Hebrew, the word ish is interchangeable sometimes with the word malach. And the Rambam uses that word in Sefer Mada. He says ishim for malachim. We would say the word malachim. He said the word ishim. So that in the tradition of interpretation, sometimes the word ish equals malach. So it has a double meaning here. Ki ha-malachim ha-eila nirim ka-anashim ba'u l'Abraham v'hu b'chokhmato hikim b'hem. Abraham Avinu, he was clever, and he recognized that they are angels. Hikim b'hem. Uvasar oto shov ashuv elecha ulisara ben. And they told him, we will come back, or I will come back, right? The angel who was given this job said, I will come back, ulisara ben, and your wife will have a son. Visara shomat. And she heard this conversation. Vlo yada ki malachei elyon hen. And she didn't know, she thought they were just people. She didn't know that they were angels. Malachei Elyon, angels of heaven, of God. Kenyan ve'eshet Manoach. There's a similar case with Manoach's wife who didn't recognize that they were angels. Ulai lo ra'ata otam klal, the Rabban adds. Maybe she didn't see them at all. Vatitzchak. And she laughed within herself in order to make light of it. Kimo Yosheb Hashemayim Yischak Hashem Yilag Lamo Apostle Gintelim. That sometimes you can have a laughter about whatever's going on in heaven. Ki Aschok L'Simcha U'Bepeh. And he says, if you laugh with your mouth, that's called simcha. That's joy. Az yimalei schok pinu, the pasuk says. You fill your mouth with laughter. Yimalei schok. Oz yimalei schok pinu. Aval haschok palev lo yomar besimcha. But if you laugh inside of you, that's not a laughter of simcha. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Heshim Ota L'Avraham. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu accused her to Avraham. Lama Haya Davar Nimna Be'Ineha. Why was it that she thought it couldn't happen? Why did she think that? V'Ra'ui La Sheta Amim. It's worthy that she should believe that it could happen. O Shetomar Amen Ken Yaseh Hashem. She should say, yes, verily, that will be done. That's God's will, and that's what will happen. V'ine Avraham amar elehos. Avraham say, lama tzachakt? Ayipalei ma'ashem davar. Why did you laugh? Is there something that God is unable to do? V'lo pirish eleha, ki Hashem gila elav soda. And he didn't tell her how he knew that she was skeptical about this, that God had told him, v'hi mipnei yirato shel Avraham tikachesh. So she disagreed or argued against it because she was afraid of Avraham, that Avraham had sort of caught her in this mood. Ki chashva she'Avraham ba'karat paneha yomar kein. That Avraham said it because he looked at her face. And her face looked skeptical. She looked like she wasn't able to accept the idea. O mipnei sheshatka. Alternatively, maybe she just kept quiet. V'lo natna shevach v'oda b'davar v'lo simcha. She didn't say a word. I mean, the angel came and said, you could have a son. And she wanted to have a son, and she didn't say anything. So Avraham Avinu knew from that she didn't believe it. V'hu amar lo ki tzachak. But he said to her, no, you laughed. Azevina ki b'nevu'a ne'emar lo kein. Then she understood that it was a prophecy, that Avraham Avinu knew that she would have a son. V'shatka v'lo anta lo davar. So that's the end of this pasuk. The end of the pasuk. V'yom elo ki tzachak. And Sarah understood that he really knew that there was something wrong, that he had received the information from an angel of God, and she should not have responded at all. V'ra'ui shenomar od. Ki Avraham lo gila lo ha'ne'emar lo v'tchila. That Avram did not tell her immediately what it was that the angel told him. Aval Sarah ishtecha yoledet lecha ben. That's what he was told. Ulai himtin ad shiluach Hashem elea habsora b'yom machar. Maybe Avram thought that God would send her this message independently on the next day. Ki yada, ki lo yaseh Hashem elokim davar, ki im gila sodo el avadav ha-nevi'im. That he knew, Avraham Avinu knew, ki lo yaseh Hashem elokim davar, ki im gila sodo el avadav ha-nevi'im. And so, these are looking at it backwards. The Ramban says, one of the reasons that this happened was that Avraham Avinu thought that, and she thought that if this was really true, that she would receive a message from God. Because in the world, the way it worked was that there was no reason for this message to go only to Avraham Avinu and not to Sarai. So it is though the Ramban is justifying her. The Ramban is Olayim Tin ad shiluach Hashem elab sorab yomachar. Ki yada ki lo yaseh Hashem elokim davar ki im gila sodo elav davar neviim o meirov zrizut b'mitzvot ayat harut b'milato. Maybe because he wanted to do the mitzvah of milah very quickly, he was busy with that uvilat amrav asher bebeito, and he had to circumcise all the people in his household v'achakach b'chulshato, and after that when he was weak. Yeshav lo petach ha'ol, he sat in front of the opening of the tent. V'amalachim ba'u terem shehigid la davar. The angels came before he was able to tell her what happened. So that there is a kind of a justification. Even though the questions are asked, there's a kind of a justification for Sarah. Because Sarah thought that since she was certainly one of the prophets, she was one of the Nevi'im, she should have been told, if this was really true, that she would have received that information from God independently of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu didn't have a chance to tell her what was happening because he was busy doing this and that and the other thing. So that in this case, the Ramban goes to great lengths. The Ramban goes to great lengths to justify Sarah. You know, see, even though it doesn't seem obvious at all that she is justifiable in this case, the Ramban tries to do it. So we see that in the case of Sarah and Hagar, the Ramban does not try to justify Sarah's behavior, but in this case of Vatichachesh Sarah Lemor, he does try to justified. Okay, let's look at the next source. Four, number four. V'achrei chen kavar Avraham et Sarah ishto el maratz de'amachbela al pei mamrei hechevron beretz Kanaan. Now this pasuk seems straightforward. Afterwards, Avram buried, after he bought the maratz de'amachbela, Kavar Avraham et Sarah, he buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field called Machpelah, the double, there's some kind of double aspect to it. al pnei mamre, facing mamre hi chevron beretz kenan. So this is a straightforward statement about what Avram Avinu did. Sarah died. He bought the Marat Machpelah. He buried her in that place. Now here's the Ramban. Kishav leva'er hasadeh va'makom va'aretz. The Torah comes back to explain to us where exactly it was, this Marat HaMachpelah. See, Sadeh HaMachpelah, Pnei Mamre, Chevron. But we know all of this. This was all stated previously in the same parasha. He says, Bavur, ki kol ha-parasha is kira b'nechet v'efron achiti. All in the story about the purchase of the Marat HaMachpelah, the Torah mentions the son of Chet, the sons of Chet, and Ephron, especially Hakiti, the Fikach is kir besof kihu be'eretz Kanaan, ashehi eretz Yisrael. And therefore, at the end, it is mentioned that it was all taking place in Eretz Kanaan, which we call Eretz Yisrael. V'chein amar b'tchilat ha-parasha b'kiryat arba hi-chevron v'eretz Kanaan. And this is also in the beginning of the parasha. The place is located, Chevron, Kanaan, v'kol ze leva'er ki. And why is this tremendous emphasis on the place? Why is the place mentioned in the beginning of the story, the place mentioned at the end of the story? And why is it mentioned that it's in Chevron, which is in Eretz Kanaan? This is the Ramban. Ki v'kol ze leva'er ki atzadeket meita be'eretz Yisrael v'sham nikbara. The tzadeket, that's Sarah, right? Again, she's the tzadeket. Meisa be'eretz Yisrael v'sham nikbara. And there she was buried. Ki ha'chitim mi'mishpachat Kanaan. The b'nei chet, they belong to the family of Kanaan. ולפי דעתי כי טעם הכתובים אינו אלא להזכיר כי היא ארץ כנען לא ארץ פלישתים. And that one of the purposes of this pasuk is to tell us that she was buried in Eretz Kanaan, but not in Eretz Plishtim. כי מפני שאמר ויגר אברהם בארץ פלישתים ימים רבים, it says that Abraham lived many days in the land of the Plishtim, right? וכל מגוריו בארץ ההיא בגרר ונחל גרר ובאר שבע ומשם לחברון, מחברון לשם. That's the story of Abraham's life. He went from Gerar, which was in the land of the Plishtim, to Hebron, and back to Gerar, and back to Hebron. I mean, that was his maslul. That's where he lived. Al Kain his kir ki Hebron hu ba'aretz ha'Kna'ani yushei barahu. That we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that Hebron is also part of the land of the Plishtim. So it says again that Hebron was in Eretz Kanaan. Right, Al Kain is Kehebron Beretz Kanaani. And it's carried to Abraham, even though Eretz Plishtim is connected to Abraham. So, the Ramban says, why this emphasis? Answer, you should not think that we're talking about the land of the Plishtim. I think I mentioned several times that the Plishtim were interesting because they were never captured. David HaMelech was not able to capture the people called Plishtim, nor the land of the Plishtim, which today, as you know, is Aza, where the Ritzuat Aza is the land of the Plishtim, which was never conquered. And here, the Ramban, he doesn't say that, but he knew it. I mean, of course he knew it. I mean, it's in the Tanakh. So that the Ramban says, there's an emphasis, an extraordinary emphasis here in the Torah that this tzadeket, O Neviyah, tzadeket should be buried in Eretz Kanaan and not in Eretz Plishtim. Eretz Plishtim and Iskeret L'Abraham. V'hosif, I'm in the sixth line, I think. Vosif basof lo dia marashi bistea machpela al pene mamre sheze Hashem anoda eleha v'nichteva zota parasha. Listen to this. And so all of this is written. Nichteva zota parasha. What's the question? I mean, the question is, I mean, Abraham wanted to bury her in a cave, so he buried her in a cave. But what's the difference? He could have buried her in a field, which was the way people buried in those days. They didn't all go and look for a cave to bury somebody in. It says, Nichteva zota parasha. Lodia chaste Hashem im Avraham, to know to teach us the chasadim, the loving kindness God had gave to Avraham. He was considered to be a prince of God in the place where he decided to live. Everybody thought that he was a great person. He never said he was a great person. He never said they should give him special honor. When Avraham Avinu was alive, this bracha that God gave him when he left Ur Kasdim and went to Eretz Canaan, right? This bracha, which is Evagadla Shemecha, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Vishto Meta Vinikbera Benachalat Hashem. His wife died and was buried in that place which would be inherited with as per the will of God. Vod Kiratza Lhodienu Mikom Kivurata Avot Basha Natu Chayavim Lechabed Mikom Kivurat Avotenu Akadoshim. And furthermore, God wanted to make sure that we would have the ability to give kavod, to give honor to our fathers by knowing where they were buried. In order to know where they were buried, they had to be buried in a very extraordinary place, a place that was rediscoverable over the years. You could always go back to it. Avot Hakadoshim Rabotenu Amru. Shegam ze min hanisyonot shel Avraham shebikesh makom likbor et Sara velo matza ad shekana oto. This was a nisayon of Avraham. It was Avraham had to understand, if he could not find a place to bury Sarah, maybe God didn't want him to find a place. He had a savora that he wanted to find a place so that in future generations people would be able to give honor to the people, to whoever was buried in that place. He says, Rabotenu Amru, Shegam ze min ha-nisyonot shel Avraham. This could also be one of the 10 tests that Avraham endured. Shebikesh makom likbor et Sara velo matza. Ad shekana oto velo yadati. Okay, that's enough. What the Ramban is saying is that Avraham Avinu did not really have to bury Sarah in the Marat HaMachpelah. But Avraham Avinu had this idea that if this woman who is his wife is really somebody so special, she is both a Neviyah. She's a Neviyah, and she's a Tzadeket, and she is the source of Am Yisrael, that it's reasonable that Am Yisrael, that the people should be able to go and pay homage to her, to be able to. So he bought the Marat HaMachpelah. He had no other way to do it. And the other thing he says is that this is a statement about Nachlat Hashem, that Sarah's burial is going to take place in the karka, in the land which belonged to Bnei Yisrael by divine decision. Right? God decided that it should belong, and so he buried her in that place.
Could we be bothered that he doesn't call her by name?
The Ramban doesn't mention it. One more pasuk about Sarah. One more pasuk about Sarah. The first, it's the first source. When Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Canaan, it says, "Vayira av ba'aretz, vayered Avraham Mitzrayim al agusham, ki kaved av ba'aretz." There was a famine in the land, and Avram went to Mitzrayim to dwell there. The kaved ha-ra'av ba'aretz, the ra'av was quite severe. That's what the pasuk says. But the pasuk doesn't give us an inclination about whether what he did was a good thing to do or not a good thing to do. I mean, after all, God told Avram Avinu, go to Eretz Canaan. So he might have come to the conclusion that if God said, go to Eretz Canaan, and I'm here in Eretz Canaan, even though there's a famine, I'm sure that God will help me get through it. But Avraham Avinu didn't say that. He said, oh, it's a famine, let me get out of here. Let me go to the land of Mitzrayim. Now, in the land of Mitzrayim, things didn't go so well. Right? You know, they saw his wife, and she was a beautiful woman, and they wanted to take her to the king, etc. At the end, with God's help, they got out. And they came back to Eretz Canaan. So you could imagine that if God was willing to help out de facto with this situation with the king of Egypt, then maybe God would also be willing to help out with the famine. I mean, why? Any event, Rashi says, Rav Ba'aretz, Bota Eretz Lebada. Just in Eretz Canaan there was a famine. L'nasoto, to test Avraham. Im yiharher achrei dvarav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shama lo lelechet el Eretz Canaan, v'achshav masi'o letzeit mimena. So, what was the test, according to Rashi? According to Rashi, God sent Avraham to go to Eretz Canaan. And all of a sudden, Eretz Canaan is chasing them out. So maybe the promise has come to an end. Or maybe the promise was misunderstood. So this was a test for Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu passed the test because when the time was, when he was able to, he went back to Eretz Canaan. That's how he passed the test. Okay? That's what the Rashi says. Good? Now along comes the Ramban. And the Ramban says, Vidah. Vidah is a strong word. You should know. Right? You should know. Ki Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol b'shkaga shevi ishto atzadeket b'michshol avon mipnei pachto pen yahargu. This does not sound good for Avraham Avinu. You ready? Da. Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol. He sinned a great sin. And what was his sin? Shevi ishto atzadeket. He brought his wife, the righteous one, b'michshol avon. She went into a trap, tripped over a sin. Mipnei pachto ben yigargu. She was taken away to the house of Paro. And this is all because Avraham Avinu, what did he do? He said, my sister. Not my wife. It's my sister. Why did he say it's my sister? Because he was afraid. Pachdo ben Yagu, v'hayalo liftoach b'Hashem. The Ramban says he should have had faith in God. She had seal oto ve'et ishto ve'et kol ha'shalom. He should have had faith that God would. He could say, "This is my wife. This is my family." Why did he have to lie? That stupid lie that got him. That got no made no good. Ki yesh be'elokim koach la'azor u'la'atzil. He should have had faith that God would be able to support him and to save him. Yam yitziato min ha'aretz, the Ramban says. Also, the fact that he left the land, shenitztaveh ala b'tchila, which God had commanded him to stay in, mipnei ha'ra'av, because there was a famine, avon Asher Chata, the Ramban says. That itself was a transgression. Because God certainly can in the time of famine, relieve him from death. You can give him food to eat. Listen to this. And it's because Avraham Avinu did not have faith in God and did not stay in Eretz Canaan that the Jews, his descendants, were obliged to go to spend 400 or 200 years in slavery in Egypt. Galut Eretz Mitzrayim biyad Paro. You see, the place where you're getting punished, that's where the resha, where the wickedness and the chait was. The wickedness and the chait belonged to Avraham Avinu, and that caused the galut. That caused the galut in Mitzrayim, and the wickedness of Sarah to Hagar. That caused the ongoing struggle between Yishmael and his descendants and Avraham Avinu and his descendants. So you see that, if I had to summarize.
No, they're all Avraham Avinu's.
They're what?
They're all Avraham Avinu's.
Why?
Yishmael's descendants. It's just they're not Sarai. But Yishmael's descendants are also Avraham Avinu.
Yes, they have an I'm saying Sarai is a problem of Hagar, what right. She did with Hagar. Avraham Avinu is the fact that he went to Mitzrayim and he endangered his wife unnecessarily. And then the Ramban said, well, not only that, but he should never have gone. He should never have gone because it's not a normal situation. He was the one who received the directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Eretz Canaan. So he should have had faith enough to understand that God told him to go to Eretz Canaan. God will make sure that he'll be able to make it in Eretz Canaan. But that of course is argumentative, because there's this principle that we know, She'ein Sochim Al HaNes, which means that you don't put your faith in a miracle. You do what you can do, right? You somehow try to work it out. That's but the Ramban says that. The Ramban says that. So you see, if I'm talking about Avraham Avinu and about Sarah, the interesting thing that comes to my attention here is that the Ramban was not afraid to call a spade a spade. There is such a phrase, right?
Not anymore.
No?
You don't say that in Harlem.
Oh. Well, but what spade is it that you're talking about? If you would say it.
What you heard me say?
Spade? A spade? That guy is spade? So, not a spade in like clog, like cards that you play with. In any event, the Ramban understood, it doesn't bother the Ramban to say that a greatly righteous person might have misstepped. Might have done something terribly wrong. And it seems to me that educationally, though the people who might make a mistake, or great people but might have made a mistake, are really much more much more reasonable role models than the people who never make a mistake. If the people who never make a mistake, you say, well, I'm not like that. I mean, I can't compare myself to that, because that is way beyond whatever I could accomplish. So educationally, that kind of Avraham Avinu and Sarai Imenu, educationally, become irrelevant. Like, if a teacher says, oh, you know, you're not like Sarai Imenu, so a kid will figure out shortly enough that that's not so terrible, because nobody is. But if you say that Sarai Imenu misstepped and caused the generation's problems, then maybe not in every case, but it's an opening to say that, you know, you could also improve, just like Sarai Imenu died with this understanding that she was a tzaddeket, and I guess she was, if the Ramban says so. In spite of the fact that she may have had some really very serious missteps along the way. So now we're up to Rivka. Rivka, you know, was the wife of Yitzchak and Hill. Rivka's, the story of Rivka that we're telling here starts in, it's number 5. Vatisa Rivka teinea, vaterek Yitzchak. Remember, she's coming to Yitzchak. She's on a camel. She's on her way back. Vatipol me'ala gamal. Whatever that means. I mean, it means she took note of it. Like she knew it was Yitzchak. And she was excited. Magiyala. But Tipol Bala Gamal literally means she fell off of the camel. But maybe it means she didn't really fall off like from the camel to the ground, but something else. Vayevi'eha Yitzchak Ohela. Saraima, you know that word Ohela? The accent is on the pre-penultimate. This is like a distraction, right? Usually in Hebrew, the accent, the way we have inherited Hebrew, the accent is on the last syllable, usually. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Livad Melech. Baruch, I'm sorry again, Baruch Atah Hashem. Now, sometimes the accent is on the penultimate syllable. That means, in English, next to the last. Penultimate. Like, Elokeinu, Melech. Melech. Right? Is that how you say it? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech. The accent is on the penultimate syllable. And that covers about 99.9% of all the words in Hebrew. Either the ultimate or the penultimate. Here and there, there is an accent on the pre-penultimate syllable. Like the third syllable from the end. Like this word. If you look at the Ta'amim, you'll see that the way to read this word is O-He-La. O-He-La. So if you're in shul and you have a Bal Kori who really doesn't read it that way, you could scream and stomp at him and tell him to fix his ways. O-He-La Sara Imo Vatigikach Adrivka V'tila Lisha V'yaveh. So this is the famous line that all the Haredi matchmakers know. And it says that first you get married and then you like your wife. Which may work sometimes. Vayinachem Yitzchak Achrei Imo. He was kind of mollified. Right? That's what happened. Rashi says in Pasuk Samach Zayin, Ha'o'ala Sarai Imo. This is the amazing thing, that somehow Rivka took the place of her mother-in-law, who was already dead. Right, Sarah was dead, but Yitzchak took her into the tent, and somehow she assumed the position of a mother of Israel. However that position was, the Chazal say different things about it. Let's go into our parasha, number 7. We have time? Maybe we'll make it. Number 7. Vata sana kelecha tel yecha v'kashtecha v'tzeya sadeh v'tzuda v'tzayet. Yitzchak says to Esav, go out and bring me good food, because you know when you're in a good mood, everything comes out better. Maybe because Yitzchak knew that Esav really didn't deserve it. And in the way of his father, the same way that his father tried to deal with Lot, who was not his son, and then tried to deal with Ishmael, and his father thought that you could always bring people into the fold. You could always encourage them. So here you have a case where Yitzchak is encouraging Esau, instead of just giving him the blessing, that he, whatever blessing he wanted to give him, he says, let's go and get a good meal. Mitzuda litzayit. Vaseili matamim kasher ahavti. Veheviecha veheviali vochla bavut vechecha nashi v'terem amut. Pasuk tetvav. Vatikach rivka et bigdei Esav b'nah gadol hachamudot asher ita b'bayim tolbeshet Yaakov b'nah hakatan. So now here we have this problem. This is the problem of our parasha. Did Yitzchak know? Know what? Know that Esav was unteachable, incorrigible. There was nothing you could do. Esav was out of the picture. And did he know that? And was he working in any event? Or was he naive about that? And then again, Rivka, the question about Rivka, did she misunderstand what Yitzchak was about to do by giving the blessing to Esav? Or did she understand very well that he was naive and might give the wrong blessing to the wrong son and therefore had to protect the right son, who was young? So both in this case, we don't know what role each of them is playing. We don't know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. So let's look at the Ramban. Ve'avur tevarechecha nafshi. That's the Pasuk Gimel, right? See? Vatasana, etc., etc. Aseli matamim kasher ahavti, Pasuk Dalet. Ve'avir levochala ba'avur tevarechecha nafshi b'terem amut. My soul should be involved in the bracha that I'm giving you before I die. The Ramban, Hayah bedato levarech oto sheyizkehu bebirkat Avraham lenchol et haaretz. He thought that he would bless Esav, and Esav would inherit the bracha to inherit the land. V'liyotu bal habrit lelukim, and he, Esav, would be have a covenant with God. Ki hu habechor. After all, he was the firstborn. V'nir'eh shelo higila lo rivka be'olam ha'nevu'ah asher amar Hashem la v'rav yavod zair. So it would seem that Rivka, who received this statement from God, that Rav yavod zair, the older one, will serve the younger one, which meant that Esav would end up serving Yaakov, but she never told him that. Ki echa ya Yitzchak overet pi Hashem. Yitzchak would never avoid doing what God told him to do. V'hi lo tetzlach, you can't get away with that. V'hinei metchila. Lo higida lo derech musar v'tzniyut. At the beginning, even though she knew Rabbi Avot Zair, she didn't tell Yitzchak derech musar v'tzniyut. This is like the ethical and modest way. Ki vateilech ledroshet Hashem, she went to speak to God. Shehalcha b'lo reshut Yitzchak. She didn't tell Yitzchak that she was going. She didn't get permission from him to have an independent conversation with God. O Shamra, or perhaps she said, Ein anochi tzrichal hagid nevuah l'navi. Why do I have to tell a prophecy to a prophet? Ki hu gadol min hamagid li, because he, my husband, is certainly greater than I am as a prophet. V'ata lo ratzta lemor lo kach hu gad li me'ed Hashem. She didn't want to go to him and say, this is what God told me, Me'ed Hashem, terem le'dati ki amra ba'avato oti lo yivarech Yaakov yaniach Yaakov b'idei shamayim v'hi yada ki b'sibat zeh yitbarach Yaakov mipiv b'lev shalem v'nefesh chafitza. Okay. So in other words, the question that the Ramban is dealing with is, after all, Rivka knew the Rav Yavod Zair. Rivka knew that the older one would serve the younger one. Whereas Yaakov said, the older one is the Bechor, so he deserves the blessing. He deserves to be blessed. So that in this case, Yaakov justifies Rivka. Rivka, even though she could have cleaned...
Ramban
justifies Rivka, even though Rivka could have cleared it up by just saying to Yitzchak, I received information from heaven, the Rabbi Avot Zair, that the older one will serve the younger one, which means that the older one, Esav, should not get the bracha, but the younger one, Yaakov, should get that bracha. And so you see that even though it's not obvious, in other words, you could ask the question. You could say, God said to Rivka, Rabbi Avot Zair, so why did Rivka tell that to Yitzchak? I mean, what was all this trickery and machinations, and what was going on that she had to trick him into understanding that Yaakov should get the bracha? But you see, according to the Ramban, according to the Ramban, she thought that if she received this prophecy of Rabbi Avot Zair, that certainly Yitzchak would also receive it. And if he didn't receive it, that would mean that she knew something that he didn't know, and because of what she knew, Rabbi Avot Zair, because of what she knew, it was important for her to do it. That's why she knew it. It wouldn't have been reasonable for her then to go to Yitzchak and tell him, because this prophecy was not given to Yitzchak. So if the prophecy was not given to Yitzchak, there must have been a reason, the way she would think about it, according to the Ramban. She would say, Yitzchak doesn't know this. Why doesn't Yitzchak know this? Because it's my job to correct Yitzchak's mistake. That's how I understand the Ramban. It was my job, I'm the one who knows Rabbi Avot Zair, to do whatever I can in order to make sure that information that I received from God is used correctly and truly. So you see that when it comes to Rivka, the Ramban goes to great lengths to justify what she did, and to help us to imagine that she was directed by heaven to do what she did. Because at the end of that period of time, she knew, but Yitzchak didn't know. And Yitzchak was acting as a result of the fact that he didn't know. He didn't know Rabbi Avot Zair, and he thought that Esav is the Bechor, and it made sense to him that everybody can do tshuva and become a good person. But Rivka, she knew that that was not the case. She knew that Rabbi Avot Zair was the prophecy that she received, and that she therefore was given the obligation to make sure that that works, that the Rabbi Avot Zair works, and it becomes it became necessary for Yitzchak to give the primary bracha to Yaakov and not to Esau. Okay. We learned a few Rambans.